Amen. Thank you, young man. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, once again, looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. The first one listed is love, then joy, then peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, and we're at number 7. This morning, faith, fruit of the Spirit, faith. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today, and we think of those who could not be here. I pray that you'd strengthen their bodies and encourage their hearts today. I pray that the Holy Spirit would have his way in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So that number 7, the seventh fruit of the Holy Spirit, is faith. Well, what is faith? And how does the Holy Spirit use faith? How does he bring forth that fruit in our lives? Those are questions we'd like to answer this morning. Well, what is faith? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us what faith is. At the jail last night, I was talking to the guys about faith. And this verse here talks about two things used in court. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for, the what? Evidence of things not seen. So there's substance and evidence to our faith. It is not a blind leap in the dark. I looked up the word substance in Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary. Substance, and I like this first part. It listed it, it defined it as ultimate reality that underlies all outward manifestations, meaning, usefulness, physical material from which something is made or which has discrete existence, material possessions, property. But I like especially the first part of that definition. It said, ultimate reality that underlies all outward manifestations. So the Bible here says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And one of our modern dictionaries defines substance as ultimate reality. Do you realize that's the exact opposite of what the world would say? They say ultimate reality is what you see all around you. But we know that's not the case. If you could hold your place here and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This definition in a dictionary goes right along with what the Bible tells us. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The dictionary says substance is ultimate reality. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 18. While we look not at the things which are what? Seen. Okay, now wait a minute. We don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are what? Not seen. How do you look at things which are not seen? For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. They're temporary. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Okay, now how do we look at things which are not seen? Okay, is that like saying, okay, whoever is not here this morning, please let us know. Please say so. If you're not here, please speak up so we know you're not here. Does that make any sense? No, if you're not here, you can't speak up. Well, what does it mean? Does this make any sense? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. In other words, the things which are seen are not reality. They're not eternal. This building is not eternal. Now, in this building, we worship the eternal God, but this building is not eternal. It's going to burn someday. It's going to fall down someday or something. If it doesn't fall down and if something doesn't happen to it, one day the Lord is going to speak the word in 2 Peter, and this whole earth is going to burn. The elements are going to melt with fervent heat. So this building is not eternal. How do we look at the things which are not seen? How do we look at eternal things? Well, through the word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. That's how we see. A lot of our soldiers have fought battles and have had the distinct advantage of fighting at night because of night vision goggles. They're being able to fight in a battle where the normal eye cannot see. And so we go through this life fighting an unseen foe. Well, then how do we know he's there? The Bible tells us. Notice in James chapter 4, the Bible tells us. You know, when this, was it in 2001 when we were attacked by the terrorists? You know what? The news reported, well, this battle is so much different because you can't see our enemy. Well, as Christians, that's always been our battle. We can't see our enemy. But it says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist who? The devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So we know we fight an unseen foe. With these physical eyes, we can't see him, but we know he's there. There's other unseen things that we can't see with our eyes. We know is dangerous. And man found that out the hard way, like when they started playing around with atomic bombs. What happened? Well, they didn't realize the exposure to that blast, and many people suffered adverse physical consequences. I'm talking about our own military men because of some of these test explosions with atomic bombs, because they just didn't realize it. And when they began experimenting with these things in the laboratory, some people were hurt physically because of the reactions that took place. They didn't understand it. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen. They may have wondered, but they didn't understand the full results and impact of what took place. And so some of these bombs went off. Radiation went up in the air and came down in some parts even of our own country. And some people in certain cities experienced the same type of cancers at a very, very, very high rate because of the fallout of that test explosion. So man dabbles in things sometimes. He can't see the power and the reaction of what's going on. And so mankind in life doesn't understand why he is so prone to do the wrong thing, why he is tempted to do the wrong thing. He doesn't understand what's going on in the background, just like Job did not understand what was going on. He lost all of his children in one day. He lost all of his cattle, which was his livelihood. It was his job. That was his retirement. You talk about the stock market crashing. Well, that was Job's stock. That was his retirement. And it was wiped out in a day. Everything. And he didn't understand why, because he didn't see what was going on in the background, in the unseen realm. So how do we understand what's going on in that realm? The Word of God. We don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, in 2 Corinthians 4:8. So the world has it exactly backwards. They say, oh, you Christian, you're wasting your time. Have you ever counted up how many hours you've sat in church? Have you ever count how many hours you've folded tracts or collated Bible courses? Or do you realize the world would say, do you realize how much time you've wasted? They're looking at it the exact opposite of reality. They would say, have you ever counted up how much money you have given to God in your life? Do you realize what you could do with that much money? You could go buy a new car. Maybe you could go buy a new house. And so the world would say, do you realize how much money you have wasted? Where the true reality is that time is not wasted. That money is not wasted. That time in prayer is not wasted. That is true reality. Hebrews 11:1, if you still have your Bible marked there. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Even the dictionary says it's the reality behind the outward manifestations. What does that mean? It's the reality beyond what we can see. It's the true, and in the definition too, it said meaning, usefulness. Do you realize how many people in the world have everything they could want materially, and they're still unhappy? They still have no purpose in life. And so they're searching. They're still searching. We know it's only in Jesus Christ that we can have the abundant life. Notice with me in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. The abundant life. The world tries to seek for it, but they don't find it. Just think how many people try to make it in Hollywood. And then think the very few that actually make it in Hollywood. And once they make it in Hollywood, their lives are basically destroyed. There was a couple I read about, maybe you did too, but in Canada, an elderly couple that won the lottery. And they won $11 million in the lottery. I think they're in their 80s, if I'm not mistaken. I should have written down the details. But anyway, up in years, they won the lottery. And as soon as they won it, people started asking them for money. So what they decided to do was just give it all away, the whole thing. Now, they didn't talk about taxes. I don't know what Canada takes out of their people for taxes when they win the lottery. So I sure hope they talk to someone and, you know, are not stuck now with $5.5 million taxes after they've given away the whole $11 million. I hope they were wise enough to do that. But anyway, they just start giving it away, and the people are just amazed. They just can't understand it, winning $11 million. But you know what the man said? We don't need that money. We have each other. We don't need that money. We have each other. $11 million. They just started giving it away. I mean, they gave it away to the fire department, to this. I mean, they gave it away to things in the community and just all over. And people just don't understand. How can you win $11 million and just give it all away? And, well, they realized that money would not make him happy, and so they just decided to get rid of it. My thought was, how did you get the lottery ticket then to win $11 million? If you didn't want it anyway, why? I don't understand. They didn't say how they got in the lottery to win it, but I was just thinking, then, why do you buy these tickets anyway? But couldn't ask them that question. But let's go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. In the sheriff's camp, we were looking the other night at this chapter, Luke chapter 8. And one of the men asked a question about this I'd like to share with you. Luke 8, verse 14. Luke 8, 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with what? Cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So after we read this, we was dealing with this passage here. What we're talking about is sowing the seed. This Luke chapter 8 talks about the sower sowing the seed, and it defines it as sowing the Word of God, scattering the Word of God. But it's not in vain. When we hand out tracts, it's not in vain. When we print tracts, it's not in vain. When we mail tracts, it's not in vain. Bible courses, Isaiah 55, I shared with the guys, God's word will not return into him void. It will accomplish that which he pleases. And so it's a work of faith, a work of faith. And so I said to the man asked, he says, what does it mean, cares of this life? What does it mean that you can be choked with the cares of this life and not bring fruit to perfection? And I said to him, I said, well, you know, guys, it's like this. I says, right now you have lots of time in jail. You have lots of time to read your Bible, to go to church. I mean, I think every night, we're there three nights a week. I think every night of the week there's some church or something. So I mean, a lot of these guys come out 3 nights a week. They read the Bible, they pray, trying to get close to God. But I said, you know what? When you get out, things are going to suddenly change. You're either going to be looking for a job or get a job. And if you get a job, how many hours are you going to work? 8, 10, 12? I don't know how many hours you're going to work. And when you come home from work, there's things to do. There's responsibilities around the house. Somebody's got to cook the food. Someone's got to clean the house. Someone's got to take out the garbage. Everyone just can't come home and sit. You know, there's things that have to be done. And I said, after all the hours you work, I said, maybe someone's going to invite you out to do something you enjoy doing, maybe golfing or snowmobiling or hockey or basketball or volleyball or something, and you're going to say, you know what, I've worked hard this week. I do want to just go out and get a little exercise or have a little pleasurable time with and doing something I enjoy. And so I said, okay, by the time you work, you eat, you sleep, you try to do a little bit that gives you some enjoyment in life. I said, you know what's going to be different about right now and when you get out of here? The cares of this life. There are so many things to tend to in life, and they all take time. And I said, right now, you have all kinds of time to spend with God. But as soon as you get out of here, your time is at a premium. And then, will those cares grow up and choke you? Will you suddenly, right now, you have all kinds of time in the day to read your Bible. But when you get out, will you find any time to read your Bible? Will you find any time to pray? If you work hard all week and someone invites you to do some pleasurable activity on the weekend, will you guys have any time for God to go to God's house once you get out? I mean, right now when they're in there, they're going to church services, many of them. Well, not many of them, but the ones who go seem to go faithfully. But when they get out, will they go faithfully? So that's the cares of this life, the cares of this life. And so let's go to John chapter 10, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we may have already been here. I don't know if I ever read the verse. Maybe we didn't go here, but John chapter 10, and verse 10, the abundant life. John 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have what? Life, and that they might have it what? More abundantly. That's the exact opposite of what the world thinks reality is. The world thinks that when you become a Christian, you can't do anything fun anymore. But what they don't realize is everything that they do that they think is fun has bad consequences to it. I mean, a reason a lot of them are in there is because of alcohol. A lot of people think Christians can't have no fun because they can't drink liquor. And yet that's the reason a lot of them are in there. I would say that's not too much fun, sitting in jail. Not too much fun at all. And so don't let the world intimidate you thinking that they're the ones having fun. That's the exact opposite of reality. They may think they're having fun, but they're not. And so we need to realize it's through Jesus Christ and Him alone that there is the abundant life. Let's go back to Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, where it talks about the sower and the seed. This spiritual fruit, sometimes you might get discouraged because if you plant corn or beans or wheat or grass seed, unless it's a bad batch, it's going to come up shortly. I mean, you're going to have to wait some days, but it's going to come up. But spiritually, you have to be more patient. Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. Luke 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." If you drop down in verse 11, it interprets that parable. Now the parable is this: the seed is what? the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh who? The devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So how do you hide something in your heart and not just in that short-term memory? I mean, how do you learn something and it actually stick? Well, sometimes, like we talked in our class, sometimes it takes repetition. You have to work at it. Well, when we give out the Word of God, sometimes it's hitting on hard, packed ground. And so people, their hearts are hard. They don't want to receive it into their heart. And so the devil will bring along all kinds of things to try to get their mind thinking on a different track. The telephone will ring. The baby will cry. And so they won't be able to pay attention to you because they've got to tend to their child. Someone will come to the house. I mean, all these things we've faced and we've been out witnessing. There's all kinds of interruptions. The devil doesn't want that word to take hold fast in their hearts. And then as we read on, verse 13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. They're like seed on a rock. When it rains, it may sprout real quickly, but there's no soil there. So as soon as the sun comes out, it's going to wither away. And as people, sometimes people make a quick profession of faith. They know that's what they really should do, but down deep in their heart, they really haven't chosen that. They really haven't chosen to repent and believe on Jesus Christ. Now, they don't want to go to hell. They're afraid of going to hell, but they really don't want to live for God. So they're kind of in that middle. And that's the people that the seed falls on the rock. Verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Some people think these really are not saved either. I think that type of person is saved, but just, you know, it's just easy to get so busy and gradually have, it's like growing a garden and then keeping it weeded. But then you get busy in the summer, maybe toward the last half of the summer, and you just can't get out there and pull the weeds. And so what happens? It chokes a lot of the fruit. And the fruit that does come forth, it might be smaller than would have otherwise been. But verse 15, but that in the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So that's what we want to be. So God has made many things on earth work in harmony with each other. So we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit being faith. Many things in life, you have to have two things to bring forth fruit. You have to have a mommy and a daddy to have a precious baby. Like with apple trees, we were given a Honeycrisp apple tree. And don't rush over yet for your Honeycrisp apples because I don't even think it had, well, it might have had one apple this year. I think the deer got into it this year, but it brought no fruit to perfection. So wait till next year at least. But we were told that for that Honeycrisp apple tree to bear apples, there had to be other varieties of apples, trees, in the vicinity, and that also blossom during the time where the blossoms of the Honeycrisp are out. And, you know, there's early apples, kind of mid-range apples, and late apples. And so those trees blossom at different times. And so we bought a certain other variety of apple tree. I think we might have bought a Jonathan to put there. That they said would pollinate the Honeycrisp. So you need two different kinds of apples. And we told them we didn't live too far away from a big apple orchard, so they said, well, it might pollinate, you know, from those trees being, I don't know, a quarter mile, half mile away, whatever they are. But, it, you know, it might be iffy. So the Holy Spirit, like the apple orchards. And that's why in the apple orchards, many times you'll see like every, I don't know how many trees, let's just say every 20th or 30th tree, there's a different tree. It's a pollinator tree. And in clackle orchards, many times it's more like a crab apple. And so like crab apple trees, many times will pollinate other varieties. And I don't know if it's because they use those I don't know if the tree is cheaper or if the blossoms are longer. Maybe it's just because there's more blossoms on that crab apple tree. I don't know. But God uses the bees as one way of pollinating from one variety of apple tree to the other. The bees go to one blossom to another and another, and God has so designed that bees have an active part in pollinating apple trees, so we get apples. Now, I've never been real fond of bees, but without them, the fruit crop would be very, very smaller. And this year I noticed there was kind of a warm streak and then a cold streak. And I noticed that on part of Clackel apples, of course, he plants the same variety kind of in blocks and sections. And I noticed when one block was, the blossoms were out, it got really cold. And there were no bees out. It was too cold for bees. For most of the time, those blossoms were out. You didn't see bees out. And do you know what happened to that section? Very few apples. Very few apples. But I noticed in another section of apples, which blossomed at a different time, they were loaded. Why? Well, because they were blossomed when it was warm. The bees were out, going from blossom to blossom to blossom, helping pollinate all those apples. And those trees, I don't know which variety it was, but those trees were loaded. But many of his trees were not. They were blossomed during a cold time. And the Holy Spirit, you may say, I don't understand this because the Bible says one of the fruit of the spirits is faith. But the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, how can faith be a fruit of the Holy Spirit if faith comes from the word of God? Well, very simply, because you need both. You need both. Just like the apple tree needs a different variety, many of them, to pollinate, the Holy Spirit uses the word of God to bring forth fruit in our lives. Without the Holy Spirit and without the Word of God, no one's going to get saved. You've got to have both. And so that's how the two go together. The Holy Spirit will use the Word. That is where the charismatics get off. They don't like to use the Word, and of course, they would deny that. But you just talk to them. You show them what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 14 about tongues, and you show them all the ways that charismatics disobey the use of tongues, the scriptural use of tongues. And you know what they'll say? They'll say, why do you keep referring to the Bible? Because the fact of the matter is they emphasize the Holy Spirit to the neglecting of the Word of God. Everything is experience-oriented according to the Spirit. And of course, we would have to very seriously question them what spirit they are listening to. Because if you touch someone in the name of the Holy Spirit and they fall down on the floor and can't get up, where do you see that in the Bible? Why, the dad that was explaining about his demon-possessed son was the one who was falling into the fire. So many of the things they talk about, you don't see in the Bible. I mean, the Lord lifts us up. He doesn't put us on the floor and we can't talk and we can't get up. Jesus is the one who made the dumb to be able to speak. He is the one who made the lame to jump up and be able to walk. But the Holy Spirit, or the charismatic movement, when they, there's some of those guys that blow on the first person in a row and the whole row falls down. And they talk about come if you want to be filled with the Spirit. And I've read about instances, the people get out of the pew and they hit the center aisle and they fall down on the aisle on the floor and they can't get up. I mean, they try to get up and it's like there's some force holding them down. That is not the Holy Spirit. You do not see that in the Bible. Jesus lifts people up. He causes them, those people can't talk. They try to talk and can't. Jesus is the one that loosened the tongues, not tied it. So they are a group that does not realize that you can't just supposedly follow the Holy Spirit apart from the Word of God. That does not work. You will be following a spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not do anything contrary to the Word of God. So let's just jump back here a second to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. So how do we bring forth the fruit of the Spirit? We will never have that spirit. We will never have this fruit. We will never bring forth this spiritual fruit, faith, apart from the Word of God. You can't just pray for a warm, fuzzy feeling and have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We will never produce this fruit apart from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Those two things together bring forth this fruit. Just like if you don't have the right pollinator apple tree close enough to your Honeycrisp. I mean, have you looked in the stores how expensive Honeycrisp apples are? I mean, they're unbelievable. People love them. But you're never going to get them with just the tree alone. You've got to have another variety to pollinate it. We're never going to bring forth this fruit of faith without the Holy Spirit and the Word of God working together in our lives. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, help us to realize that faith is not just a guess. It's not just something we try to work up and hope for something big. Lord, help us to realize that faith has substance and evidence to it. It's not just our opinion, but it's substance and evidence. It is reality. Everything around us is temporary, Lord. We see that each and every day. But Lord, help us to invest our lives in the eternal. May this spiritual fruit of faith be seen in our lives, and help us to realize that we can't just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to drop this in our lap, but that it will only come forth as we spend time in your word, and that the Holy Spirit can use your word in our lives so that we can have true faith, something real. Have your way, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.